Thank you, brothers. Well, we hope you can all see that okay. The presentation tonight is going to be on the terms steadfast, unmovable, and abounding. And the scripture that this has to do with is, oops, I don't know how to use my own machine. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's from 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. You know, God's chosen people in any age have had the assurance that he will give us the victory if we but exercise faith, trusting in him whose times we cannot, whenever we cannot even trace him. You know, God reminded King Jehoshaphat of this fact of faith when, in answer to the king's prayer, he would have provided these strengthening words. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by any reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. So just as God has promised the battle was to be fought by Jehovah, and the victory was his, let's sing together. The words will be on the screen. Hymn number 266, Soldiers of Christ. We see in 1 John 5:4 that we are reminded of the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. According to thy faith be it unto thee, would seem to be the Lord's method of dealing with all who are his disciples, from the first to the last, in their Christian walk and experience. Faith, when he seems not to notice us. Faith, when all things seem to be going prosperously with us in our spiritual affairs, in our temporal affairs, and faith equally strong where the currents and forces seem to be against us. The victory that overcometh the world is the faith that in all conditions is able to look up to the Lord with absolute confidence in his goodness and faithfulness, and to realize that according to his promise, eventually all things will work together for good to us because we are his people. And that's from reprint 26:27. We'd like to sing hymn number 197, Victorious Faith. How easy it is to say all we need is faith. But how do we develop such faith that will gain a victory over the world, our victory over our flesh, and a victory over our adversary who constantly assails us? How can we be steadfast and unmovable like the faithful witnesses of the past? Queen Esther trusted that God would deliver her people, but added this important component of courage. She said, "If I perish, I perish," from Esther 4:16. Another example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gained an amazing victory over their faith, through their faith. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel 3:17 and 18. And Daniel himself exercised great faith in the power of God to shut the mouths of lions. As our pastor observed, Daniel could sleep better in the den of lions than Darius in the royal palace. He who could not find rest in a lion's den, when that was the place for him, could not gain rest by mere removal to a palace. It is the man's self which must be changed, not his circumstances or his possessions, in order to have his having his heart overflowing with joy and praise. And that's from reprint 31:23. As the faithful of the ancient past, so too the captain of our salvation exercised faith in the mighty power of God. So much so that he was willing to lay down his perfect sinless life in a sacrifice without hesitation. How did he do this? He kept the vision of the completed kingdom always before his mind. And so we are advised to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. If we keep that vision of the completed kingdom before our eyes, we too can develop such faith as will conquer every foe. With that in mind, let's sing Zion's Glorious Hope. You know, one time while observing a waitress in a, it was probably in Luby's, I think, carrying a large a tray with several bowls of soup, we asked, you know, how she was able to keep up with carrying this kind of tray without spilling as she wove her way quickly through the maze of staggered tables. And she answered, well, you don't look down at the soup expecting it to spill. She said, you keep looking forward to where you're going. And somehow the hand compensates a level balance. Okay, so stop and think how this maybe applies to our new creatures. If we keep looking forward, not down expecting to fail, but forward toward the glorious hope set before us, not behind at our failings, but at what these things have taught us in walking more circumspectly, not at the troubles surrounding us, as the Lord has carefully measured these as to their value to us, and not at our weaknesses, as His strength is made manifest to others when we overcome these, then we shall reach our goal with success. From reprint 1840, let us endeavor to make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and then lay hold of the Lord's strength to help us pursue our course in the narrow way of difficulty and trial. The fact that we are weak and lame does not separate us from the love and the power of God. He knows that we have the treasure of the new nature in earthen vessels, and therefore that while we strive to overcome, we will have His proffered sympathy and aid and the imputed righteousness of Christ for all our all-sufficient covering. It is when continued trust and responsive providences have ripened into personal acquaintance and fellowship with God, when heart answers to heart, when pleading prayer brings recognized answers of peace, when the divine care and love are specially seen in the guidance of our way, ah, then it is that we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord. Then, however dark may be the way, or however heavy may be the storm that rages about us, the balm of divine consolation is always there, so that the child of God, though often troubled on every side, is not distressed. Though perplexed, he is never in despair. Though cast down, he is not destroyed. And though persecuted, he is never forsaken. What a consolation it is to know that there is not one thing that could happen to us without the Father's permission, without His protection and grace to help in every time of need. Are we not assured as well that if we are rightly exercised by our experiences, they will bring about the peaceable fruitage of righteousness, which will surely bring a blessing not only to ourselves but to others? There's a beautiful story, and this is adapted from an Anton Fry discourse. And it says, and he says in his discourse, many years ago, old Brother Hirsch told a story of a large garden of beautiful flowers. And a very heavy hailstorm broke over a large area of Philadelphia. It inflicted much damage upon the gardens, and particularly upon this beautiful bed of flowers. Relentlessly, the hailstones cut the little flowers into ribbons until the garden was a very sorry sight to behold. However, after the storm, when peace and tranquility again prevailed, the air was redolent with such a fragrance from these wounded and bruised flowers as it had never been before. So with us, our trials and experiences, though very severe, should make us yet more kind and benevolent, a blessing all around to those around us, perfected through sufferings. So keeping that in mind, let's sing Our Consolation. And from now on, when you listen to that song or sing it, remember that part about the wounded flowers. Their fragrance from the wounded part breathes sweetness out of woe. 2 Chronicles 16:9 comforts us with these words: "The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to Him." Yes, because we have consecrated our lives completely to God, we are assured that He will strongly support us in our efforts to glorify Him, bringing us on to our victory in due time. He and His Son have a vested interest in our success. If our prayer is to remain steadfast and unmovable, they will provide means whereby we might abound towards this goal. From Volume 6, pages 183 to 185, and it's titled, "If God Be For Us." Quote, "Do we not see, brethren, that God has a great and wonderful plan which He is carrying forward? Do we not see that having determined on the selection of a certain class for cooperation in His plan, He is favoring us, that He has revealed to us the terms and conditions justifying and calling us with this heavenly calling. This means that God is for us, that He wishes us to be of this elect class, that He has made every arrangement necessary whereby we may attain a position in it. Do we sometimes feel that although the Lord is for us, Satan and sin and our own weakness through heredity are all against us, seeking to ensnare and stumble us? Well, let us reflect that the Almighty God, being on our side, None of these oppositions need cause us fear or trepidation, for He is abundantly able to carry us through them all. Let us look back and note that if He would do all this for us as sinners, He would do much more for us now that we have become children of His children. We may be sure that He who changes not still loves us and still is still for us and will use His power to cause all things to operate for our highest spiritual welfare and for our ultimate attainment of a new place in the new creation if we abide in Him in faith, in love, and in heart obedience. Yes, God and Christ have a personal stake in our success as new creatures. And think of that. They have a personal stake in our success. They are for us and will abide with us as long as we continue to abide in their tender care. So we're going to sing My Strong Tower. Faith is strong in the power of the Lord's strength. We cannot help but have the heart desire to show God and His precious Son our appreciation for their faithfulness. And we show them this by what? Abounding in works. There is real joy that comes from a steadfast, unmovable faith that abounds in the work of the Lord. It is not a joy for our glory or for our reward, but for the privilege of bringing glory to our Father and His Son. This is the work which is not done in vain, but will abound unto victory and will follow with us beyond the veil. In Volume 3, page 224, the pastor states, "No man ever labored for our Master who will not receive abundantly more than he could ask or expect. We also read in reprint 3176 that faith sees the accomplished victory of the future and even now exults and rejoices in the privilege of co-laboring with the Redeemer, spending time, energy, and life. And from 1 Samuel 12:24, we see the reminder, serve the Lord in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he hath done for you. Serving the Lord, the truth, with all your hearts, provides such strength and courage to keep pressing on. It takes the focus off of our troubles and helps us fix our eyes forward. This has a sanctifying effect not only upon ourselves, but also upon our ecclesias as we are co-laborers together. You know, it breathes life into our ecclesias when we participate one with another in conventions, class studies, witnessing opportunities, and testimonies. But because this can only be accomplished if we are involved, not sitting by passively, but each one actively provoking one another unto love and good works. And that's from Hebrews 10:24. Reprint 48:17 tells us, it is indispensable to those who have reached the mark of perfect love that they shall keep actively engaged in the Lord's service, in the service of the Lord, laying down their lives for the brethren. Such must stand not only as representatives of God and of the principles of righteousness, but as representatives of those strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, ready and willing and efficient in the encouragement of other runners in the race course, that they likewise may attain to the mark. Once we have done all that we can, standing by the grace and strength of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the brethren, we can rest confidently that God will slowly and progressively toward our maturity as new creatures make us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:10-13, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. With these things in mind, we'd like to close with singing Triumphant Zion.